doing something a little bit different. Instead of having the video of people that have passed on to the greater life than here, of whomever we, you know, you wanted to put on it, but it's gotten so long over the years. So this year we started with just the people, as far as the video, who have passed away this year. But if you're here and you want to light a candle for anyone in your life in particular that's passed on, then just feel free to come up as I'm talking, and you can light a candle in their memory. Let me just say a couple of things before I get into this. When you light a candle in memory of someone, what it's really representing, as we should know, it's for us. But it's telling us and reminding us that their light hasn't gone out. And that's why we light the candles. Their light is still shining just as bright, and actually brighter than it ever has. And so when you look at these candles this morning and see them lit in memory of someone who's gone on to their reward, just remember that their light's still burning. In your brain, there are these lines. They're actually grooves, if you will. And there are some grooves in your brain that are real light. They're barely indented. And those are memories that are fading memories. It's memories like, if I ask you what you had for lunch yesterday, you could tell me. But if I ask you what you had for lunch 2 weeks ago, you couldn't tell me. Those are memories that really don't have a big impact on your life. Then there are grooves in your brain. They're called memes, and they're real deep. And those are memories that, whether good or bad, if you thought back to that time, it might have been when you was 12 years old and you had a special memory with your mom, a special memory with your dad. Well, you remember that. Well, that same emotion that you had back then is the same emotion you're going to have now. I was doing a memorial service the other day, last week, and they sang the old hymn, Precious Memories. And it just reminded me how precious memories really are. Thank God we have memories that we can remember our loved ones. And when we do, they're good, good, good memories. And this year at Eagles Way Church, John Langston's wife, Barbara Grammy Langston, passed away January 25th. And Barbara's been attending here for about 6-7 years, and just a precious, precious lady that we're going to miss big time. I loved her because she would sit right over here, and though the music was just way too loud for her, she set it out every Sunday and didn't complain a whole lot about it at all. She would tell me, it's loud, but she was here. Mike Thompson's wife, Ann Thompson, she passed away on March the 8th and went to her eternal reward. And Ann was a precious lady. She taught school for 30-some-odd years. And in her last year of teaching school, her memory started fading. Things that she could not remember that she knew very well just went away. And after she retired, it was only about 6-7 years later, she went on to her eternal reward. And we're going to miss her dearly. And Wayne Kitchens' mother, Irma Kitchens, passed away on April the 8th, 2014. And I remember walking the track. Yeah, I'll throw that in. Walking the track with Wayne, and I didn't know his mother. But as we were walking one day, he spent the whole 2 miles we walked talking about his mother and how he enjoyed going to the nursing home and seeing her and just loving on her and how much he loved his mom. He went by there every single day, and so we know that Wayne's going to miss her. Smil O'Neill lost her husband Bobby O'Neill on August 23rd. Bobby was just a very unique person. I've known Bobby since I was a kid. Could tell you a lot of stories about Bobby, but Bobby loved his God, loved his Lord with all of his heart, and sat right over here with his family, and all of his family's in church. Bobby's going to be greatly missed by them and missed by a lot of people. A lot of people in Griffin knew Bobby. He was a kind of a jack of all trades and did a lot of things for a lot of different people. But Bobby's with his Lord today with a brand new body. And then Doug and Joy Grubbs' mother, Almiria Grubbs, passed away on January the 26th. And had a real special moment with her when right before she passed. Me and Ralph Martin went there one Wednesday evening before service, and happened to be all the boys were there. And we just had a real special time in ministering to her and to the boys. And she was just a great, great woman, raised great guys, and I know you're going to miss her dearly. But she's with her husband and other loved ones, and she's with her God. And Tim Ellis lost his grandfather, Dravelin Ellis. Never heard that name before. And he passed away on November the 13th. And what really got me about Tim moved in with his granddad about 2 years ago, I think, a couple of years ago, and took care of his granddad. And that's so much to be said about a young man that would move in with his granddad and take care of him. But he did that for the last 2 years, and that really made me think a lot about Tim and what he did for him. And then Pam McElroy's mother, Doris, she passed away on November the 26th, 2014. And we did that memorial service last Sunday afternoon. And Pam, I'll never forget. That's probably one of the most precious moments, cherished moments I ever have in my life. They were married for 61 years. And at the end of the memorial service, after I had spoken and this other pastor had spoken, they played this. Their favorite song was "You Are My Sunshine," and it was sung in a very hymnic way, if that's such a word, but it just sounded like this sweet, sweet hymn. And while they were playing that, he walked up to a picture of her that was there, and he just walked up to it. And I could just see those 61 years of marriage and how he just was looking at that portrait of her and that song being sung, "You Are My Sunshine. Please don't take my sunshine away." And then I watched him utter some words. And these were the words he uttered. And these are the words that I want all of you who have lost a loved one, no matter at what stage of life it is, because this is true. And he said these words: "Don't walk too fast. I'm not far behind you." And the fact of the matter is, we're not far behind any of them. The Bible says, "What is life but a vapor? It's here for a little while, and soon it vanishes away." And the Apostle Paul said, "What would this life be? If we had hope in this life only, we'd be all people most miserable." And I'm telling you, the greatest hope that we have, I believe, is the hope that we know that the loved ones who've gone on to be with the Lord ahead of us, that one day we'll all be reunited and we're all going to the same place. That's a great reason to celebrate these next few weeks. Jesus came so that we can have this hope. He came so the place that he left is so glorious that we could all go to at our appointed time. And for that, I am grateful and thankful for over and over and over again. So would you stand with me as we about to enter into our first Christmas worship service? Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your only Son. You sent him here that the Word could become flesh. And that as this Word become flesh, that we would behold him in all of his glory. And because of that, that we also can be changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. We bless you today. We honor you today. We worship you today. Thank you for coming to this earth, Lord, and giving us life abundant and life eternal. We love you. In Christ's name, amen.
Praise goes out to you. worship you today. We give you all of our praise. We adore you so much, God, for who you are and what you did for us. And I'm just so emotional. I'm so thankful that you fill us with your Spirit. And you fill us with your presence in the birth of Jesus. Led us to look forward to your return. And that when life does not feel like a vapor, you are hope. And hope is contagious because hope is life. And nothing is worth anything without you and your love and your hope. And we just praise you today.
Oh, come let us. salvation. You've loved us from the Lost in the shadow.
And as our ushers are preparing this morning to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, I want to thank you for all that you have been doing with the Angel Tree. We started with 125 children who we're providing a gift for, and I think we have only about 6 or 7 or so left, somewhere in that range, maybe 10. And so that Christmas party that those children have been invited to with their guardians will be next Sunday here at the church from 3 to 5. So if you want to touch base with Leah or Lauren or Linda or Mom about how you can get involved in helping with that party, I'm sure they would love all hands on deck for that. So, and then our shoes for Griffin, Dr. Jerry Roberts is breathing a little deeper this morning. He's not quite there, but of the 225 shoes that he committed to providing to some needy children in our community, I think he only has about 45 or 50 that still need to be provided for. And so if you want to get involved with either one of those, you still can. It's not a problem. But our biggest thing that we have coming up is on the 20th of this month, I believe that's a Saturday, the 20th, we are responsible for the volunteers at Rushton Hope. This is their Christmas meal, and they are served a sit-down dinner. It's done at Second Baptist Church in the gymnasium, and it takes a lot of hands to make that happen. There's also a Christmas store where they can go in and get gifts for their children to be able to give. So Sharon says, please, please, please make this announcement that I need all hands on deck. She will actually be out in the foyer afterwards. If you have any questions about the time frames and what it takes and how difficult it is, she says it's not hard at all. You can do it. Anybody can do it. So if you're interested in that, that would be great. Let's pray and bless this offering. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to the house, to our people. Lord, I thank you, Father, Lord, that you give and you give and you give and you give. And we receive. And Lord, we give back to you today, Lord, our first fruits. Tithes, our offerings, our alms, our time, our talent. And I thank you for that. Use it for the furtherment of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jacob said, I'm going to tell you how to do this. Your dad can never get it right. So I was hoping apple doesn't fall far from the tree. We are entering in a new series this morning called Silent Night. And I guess it was a couple of months ago, I felt like God had birthed this series in my heart. And so I called Dad and I said, I've got our December series. And sometimes I call Dad and I say things like that to him. And I'll say, hey, this is what we need to do, this new series. And Dad will say, no, we don't. And this time, I guess I had his ear. Of course, he didn't have much say-so coming up since he had knee surgery. And so he didn't have a lot of say what we talked about. But Silent Night, I think Dad said last week, all is bright when all is calm. I actually wanted Dad to look over my message last Saturday, but it was right in the middle of the Georgia Tech game, and he just said, I am not any frame of mind to look over this. And what I wanted to say is, then you need to look over this. I read somewhere, and I really can't remember where I read it. It was a couple of years ago. I read the statement, only you can evict yourself from paradise. And I think Dad had probably evicted himself from paradise after that Georgia game. But we all do it. We all have the tendency to evict ourselves from paradise. Sometimes situations we can allow to cause us to evict ourselves. My children can make me evict myself from paradise. Everything can be going, you know, just fine, and, you know, nothing's going to rain on your parade. And then, you know, you have situations like you're just talking about these new curtains you had, and you're wondering where they are, and your daughter says about those curtains, I use those for my rabbit trap. And you're just like ready to pull the ejection handle, you know, like from paradise. And like, I mean, you're spot to spiral. And I just looked at Chris in that moment and I paused and I said, this one's yours. this is yours. And I left the room. And, of course, Anna's favorite new recovery line from anything is, just think, Mom, one day we'll look back on this and we'll just all laugh. And it's still a little too soon for that one. But in this series, we're going to learn how to stay in paradise. Do y'all want to do that? I'm going to open up with, actually, this whole message is on based from this passage in Philippians 4, and you can probably almost quote it by now. We talk about it so much. But in Philippians 4, starting with verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." And the God of what? And the God of peace will be with you. Let your gentleness be evident. Let it be evident to all. Let it be evident to the people that you are surrounded with, the people you work with, the people you come in contact with. Let your gentleness be evident in your home. Let your gentleness be evident in how you communicate to your spouse. Let your gentleness be evident with your children and how you communicate to your children. It was a really hard word where it says, let your gentleness be evident to translate. But the actual translation means to really be generous in all you do. To be generous with your kindness. To be generous with your mercy. To be generous with your gentleness, because you see, you can't be generous and negative at the same time. You can't be generous with these things and have toxic thoughts running through your body at the same time. And doesn't life just go so much easier when you respond gently? In Colossians 4:6, it says, "Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone." And sometimes we need to kind of pause so we can have the right response, because if we just react like bam, 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 chances are, especially in a, you know, curtains being made into a rabbit trap kind of situation, I'm not going to have the right response, except, Chris, you have this one. So that was my gentleness in the moment. But if we pause, then we will have the right response. I love Proverbs 15. It says, "A gentle response turns away wrath, but harsh words makes tempers flare." You've experienced that in your home, where a gentle response will turn away, will diffuse a moment. It'll diffuse that tense moment. It'll diffuse that. But if you jump right into it, you're going to cause tempers to flare, and nothing good's going to come from it. Something I've learned in my 40 years, God, it's weird to say 40 years, is that finally giving somebody the what for, or telling them exactly what you think or what you're feeling, never goes over the way you think it's going to go over. Ever. I have had those moments where I thought, you know what? I'm going to explain to this person just how I'm feeling. And there's a right time for... Thank you, Ron John. There is a right time for confrontation. I don't even like that word, because that even sounds bad. But there's a right time and a right way to address things. Most of the time, it's just not right. Most of the time, it's just never going to be a right time. But gentleness. And something else, you know, when you talk about keeping the peace in the home and in your relationships, it's not just about being a peacekeeper. It's about being a peacemaker. And when the scripture says that if you go to the altar to offer your gifts and you realize that someone has an offense against you, to go and make it right, it doesn't say if that is justified, if their offense is justified. It says you go make it right. Be a peacemaker. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The rest of this passage is where I really want to land today. And number two, if you're taking notes, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. It says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It means do not be anxious about little things. Do not be anxious about anything is what? Anything. You know, there are some waves that come into our life that just rock us hard. And we're not expecting them. We don't know they're coming. It's nothing that we really did to cause it. Those waves just happen. It's like when the disciples were in the boat with Jesus and the storm came, and Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the boat, and they're all freaking out, and so they go down. Sorry, I said that again. And they all go down, and they're like, Jesus, you know, we're terrified, the storm. And so Jesus wakes up from his slumber, and he says, peace be still. And the wind and the waves obeyed him, which is really awesome. But what he was speaking to was not those waves, but to the waves within them. Right. Was speaking to their hearts, to peace be still. And so there are times that God gives us peace in situations that make no sense. That's the peace that transcends understanding. I've been through things in my life that were hard and they were difficult, and I didn't ask for them, but I had this peace of God within my life that he gives me. But then there's times that we make our own waves. We create our own waves, and we create our own anxiety, and we're asking God to give us peace for something that we have created ourselves. Amen. We ask God to calm the storm in our life that we are waving it around, and we are causing it to rage. And how can he give us peace for something that we're creating? How can he give us peace for something that we're creating? We create anxiety. I'm speaking to myself as well, with our words. We create anxiety with the thoughts that we think. We create anxiety with our approach. It's not always what we're going through, but the way we're going through it. We create anxiety by listening to the wrong voices. We can create anxiety listening to too many voices. I used to be, sometimes still can, might be the worst at that. I want to know, Dad, how are you feeling about it? Mom, how are you feeling about this? Chris, how do you feel about this? Jenny, how are you with this? All great voices, but I can get to hear so many voices that I forget that voice and the voice that's within me. We can create anxiety with our expectations. We expect things to always go well. I expect Chris to never fail me. I expect my day to go as exactly as it has mapped out in my iPhone calendar. I know what 8 a.m. looks like all the way down to what 8 p.m. looks like when I put Jet Tackle to bed. I know what that looks like. And sometimes we have these expectations, and we create anxiety within ourselves when things just don't go. I wrote a blog post so long ago called Life is Amazing. And Chris was on a trip, and he fenced in our front area so we could put cows there, because there's not enough land everywhere else, I guess, to put them. So to put cows, like, literally open my front door, it's like they're staring at me. And he said, this was back when the temps were like in the 20s, like just like painfully cold, like stupid cold. And he said, I need you to go and make sure the well's running right. Like, how did I live in a world where I have a well, first of all? Like, how did this happen? And make sure the cows have water. I'm like, ugh. how's this my world, you know? And so I got home, and it was like 8 o'clock at night at this point, 8:30. I sent the kids inside to get ready for bed, and here I go outside, and I'm freezing. You know, I've got my flashlight. I'm like, what am I doing? And so, and I'm just like this the whole time, and as I had to go to the well house, it's a long story, turn something on, turn something off, turn it on. Anyway, I come back out, and I go to check the trough, and as I'm walking, I look up at the stars, and I see the most magnificent sky, crazy beautiful, like gorgeous, and I just thought, I would have missed this. I would have missed this beauty, this reason to worship a creator who makes everything good, had it not been for those cows in the front yard. But we create waves. Shame creates waves. Fear creates waves. Guilt creates waves. And it's the waves within us that we have to speak to. I got a devotional this week, and it talked about worry. And this is what it said. It says, take worry seriously. Don't get comfortable with your worrisome thoughts. Don't get comfortable with your worrisome thoughts. Instead, see them for the dangerous intruders that they are. Don't allow yourself to worry about anything, from things as simple as the weather to things as serious as your loved ones. Worry is like a poison that can easily spread into every part of your body and eventually conquer your reality. It will eventually conquer your reality. What is the reality? You have the mind of Christ. Everything he does is good. Ralph posted this on worry. Worry is meditation going the wrong way. Meditation is setting your mind on a focused thought and ruminating it over again and again. It is allowing an imagination of distrust to prophesy the opposite of truth and will probably convince you that it's God when it's not. You cannot control the condition of the waves, but you can control the condition of your heart. You cannot control the condition of the waves, but you can control the condition of your heart and how you respond to it. And you know what? Some waves, they bring you exactly where you're supposed to be. Those waves that you thought were meant for your destruction, or those waves that you thought were going to shatter a dream and shatter your vision for your life, bring you exactly where they're supposed to be. I had dreams that were shattered, and those waves brought me to a Chris Tackle, to an Anna, to a Jet, to a John Henry. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes waves bring you, because God uses everything for your good. When we allow him, everything for your good. And we have to open our eyes to what's in front of us. I love the story of Hagar. I don't love that story. It's kind of sad, actually. But I love this part of Hagar. When Hagar and her son are out in the desert, and they run out of water, and she is crying. Her son is, you know, she's like, my son is dying. And one of the reasons I love this story is because I see God's compassionate heart for a single mom. And I love, love, love that. And God hears the cries of the son. Doesn't even say he hears the cries of Hagar. He hears the cries of her son. And God says, the scripture says, God opened her eyes to the well in front of her. God opened her eyes. Was that well already there? And she is consumed with her worry, and she is consumed with her anxiety. But the scripture says God opened her eyes to the well that was already there. We have to see the well in front of us that is already there. Be anxious for no thing. Something Chris said to me the other day, and I was, because we can make little things really big things. And I was making a moment in time, a moment in my life of parenting, a moment in my life with one of my children, bigger than it was. And he said, Dusty, this is not a defining moment. We can allow those moments to define us, how we respond to them. But he said, Dusty, this is not, and that was the same as him saying, peace, be still. This is not a defining moment. Be anxious for nothing. Next, think about such things. Think about such things. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, anything, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I put a post on Instagram. I found this quote the other day, and it said, there isn't enough room in your mind for both worry and faith. You must decide which one will live there. An unfocused mind will break your faith. Is that me? You don't know. An unfocused mind will break your faith. If you don't discipline your thought life and you let them run all over the place crazy, it'll break your faith. It will break your faith. It says, think about these things. Make it your habit of thought. Isaiah 26 says, he whose mind you will keep in perfect peace, he whose mind is fixed on you, who is kept by you. Something is holding your mind. Your mind is kept by something. And Paul here has given us examples of what needs to be keeping our mind, what needs to be holding our thoughts. You see, we got to stop asking God for faith and change our focus instead. Wednesday night, I went to bed just a little devastated inside, filled with worry, filled with anxiety, over a situation with one of my kids. And I mean, it was awful. I mean, just where I let my mind run and go to, that's what I'm saying. An undisciplined mind or an unfocused mind will cause you to break your faith. And that's exactly what I was allowing to happen in my life. And I went to bed worried and didn't sleep all night. Slept 1 hour, that last hour. And I'm asking God, I'm like, God, I need peace, I need peace, I need peace. And asking him for peace for something I was creating. But he's so good and he's so faithful, because I woke up that morning and this scripture was what I opened my eyes to. And it's in 2 Corinthians 10. And it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We demolish arguments. That is the antithesis of who God says he is and who he says you are. We take captive those thoughts that aren't true, that aren't lovely, they're not of good report. We take captive. And actually what that means is, when you take something captive, you treat it like a terrorist. They take terrorists, they take terrorists captive. And they interrogate them, and they want to know, where did you come from? What did you do? And that's how you treat those thoughts. You take them captive, you interrogate them, and you hold on to them so they don't hold on to you. You hold those. And see, I had to take captive Thursday morning fear. I had to take captive worry. I had to take captive the what ifs. And then when I took those thoughts captives, I made them obedient to Christ. And the way I did that was I just started speaking truth. is that he who started a good work will be faithful to finish it. That he has made me the head and not the tail. That he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will chase after me all the days of my life, all the days of my children's life. Because you know what? My hope is not in my children. My hope is not in you. My hope is in Christ alone. And he is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. You see, it's really not the things that you're dealing with. It's not the fear. It's not the situation. It's not the financial stuff. It's not the physical stuff. It's not the things with your kids that stress you out or your relationships. It's not the things, because there's somebody going through the same thing you're going through. The difference is, it's how you think about that thing. It's how you think about that thing. Whatever you think on owns you. It owns you. I was letting worry about my children own me. And whatever you think on will grow. Had I allowed my mind to stay where it was Wednesday night, today would be worse. I would feel it. And you know what? It would become my reality, because that's exactly what I would see. Whatever you think on will grow. So what do you do with those thoughts? That negative thought about that person that just came to your mind? It says treat it like a terrorist. Take captive. That thought of shame? Take it captive. That thought that I'm not good enough. That thought that here we go again. That thought of I always mess this up. Take it captive. And instead, hold on to those thoughts that are truth. And let that be your reality. Hold on to the thought that you were broken and God healed you. Hold on to the thought that there was a time and there was no way out and he rescued you. Hold on to that thought that every time that you thought this is not going to work, it's not going to work, and his goodness prevailed. Hold on to that thought. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Hold it. Hold on to that thought. Hold it. You are greater than all those other thoughts because of Christ in you. An unfocused mind will break your faith, but let me tell you what a focused mind on his goodness will do. It'll set you free. It'll make cause you to reach, explode with praise, explode with excitement for who he is. It will cause you to be able to speak to the mountain and it will move. That's what focused mind will do. That's what builds your faith. Think on these things. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold that thought. Hold it. When the enemy of the Lord comes in like a flood, you will raise up a standard against it and you will hold that thought. Hold that thought. I can't tell you the times I've worried over something and God reminds me of every stone. That's what he said. That's what he said in the scripture. Let these stones be a memorial to everything I've done. You start praying for your children and for your friends and for your family. You start thanking God for what he's already done. What's already there. You see, I don't have to ask God to give John Henry wisdom. I don't have to ask God to give Anna compassion. It's already within him. And I thank God for it. And I just start thanking him for it and praising him for it. And I start responding gently. And I start seeing those things come out. Think on these things. Hold that thought. And finally, put it into practice. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. What do you put into practice? Constant thanksgiving. Constantly taking captive negative thoughts and holding on to good thoughts. Constant forgiveness. Constant love. Constantly being generous with our kindness and our mercy. Constantly reminding ourselves to pause. And let me tell you, this is the biggest thing for me, putting into practice meditating on His Word day and night. Meditating on His Word day and night. Chris said he was kind of saying this in a compliment, but not really, because he told me, he said, Scripture is your arsenal. And which is fantastic when I'm speaking it over myself. You know, when you're using it in a relationship, doesn't just, you know, if I have an issue with Chris and I come to him with the Word says, doesn't always go over as well. Or that's usually my immediate response with my kids. I'll say what the Scripture says. And he was being kind about it, sort of. And he just said, sometimes maybe just don't respond with the Scripture, but just like, you know, it's good for you to do this, or it's better for you. And but when I am encouraging myself, when I am encouraging my spirit, Scripture is my arsenal. And I think it's so important to take this Word. Proverbs 4 says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them. They are what? They are life to those who find them. They are health to one's body. And above all else, guard your heart, which means guard your thoughts. Guard your mind, because everything you do flows from it. Everything you experience, your reality, flows from it. Guard it. Pay attention to my words. In Joshua, he tells us to meditate on his words day and night. I think this right here, you know why the Word of God is so important? Because that's whatever is true. That's whatever is right. That's whatever is good. Meditated on day and night. I'm reading a book right now by Caroline Leaf, and it's called Switch On Your Brain. She also wrote Who Switched Off My Brain? Which is great. This one is even better because she's telling you how to switch on your brain. And this is what she said. When we pray, when we catch our thoughts, when we memorize and quote Scripture, we move into this deep meditative state. And when we do this, we keep connected to our spirits and are able to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? When we just take this Word and we meditate on what this says, not what's going on in our minds, not what's going on with our children and our homes and our relationships and out there or those ways, but when we meditate on this, we will connect. Because here's the thing, our minds just need time to understand what our spirit already knows. We just have to help our minds line up to what your spirit already knows. And so you begin to meditate that I can do all things. Shane, band, I'll be coming. Meditate. Meditate on the fact that He is for you. Meditate on the fact that He is your shepherd. He is your rock. Meditate on the fact that He goes before you. And whom shall you fear? Meditate on the fact that He was bruised for your iniquities. And He says that by my stripes, you're healed. Meditate on that. Meditate on the fact that God is truth. God is truth. He is not a liar. And that same God of truth, that same peace, is already within you. Put these things into practice. And it says, the peace of God will rule your life. Put these things into practice, and the peace of God will rule your life. In this book, she talks about Lamentations, and when it says, his mercies are new every morning, great is his faithfulness, his mercies are new every morning. And she talks about the science behind that. And she says, each morning when you wake up, this is so cool, you have new baby nerve cells born inside your brain to use wisely as you remove bad thoughts and wire in new ones. It's called neurogenesis. Isn't that the coolest thing? That's exactly what his mercies are. That's exactly what his mercies are. Those thoughts of worry and anxiety I had Wednesday night, Thursday morning I woke up with a new mind. That's how easy. That's how good God is to say, hey, you know how sometimes we say, let me sleep on it? There's something to be said for sleeping on it, because you feel so different in the morning than you felt the night before. You know why? Neurogenesis. Who knew? It's science, doc. Science. But that's his mercies. And I don't know if you need a brand new 24 hours. I always need a brand new 24 hours where I can do away with those thoughts that are not healthy for me, that are changing up my reality from what my reality really is, and I need to wire in new ones, where I can be like Hagar in the desert, worried about my child, and God can open my eyes to the well. That's what he did for me. He opened my eyes to the well, where I could say, hey, John Henry, drink from this. Hey, Dusty Tackle, you go drink from this. I hear your cries. And maybe you're here this morning and you're just saying, good Lord, I got a lot of thoughts I got to take captive. His mercies are new. His mercies are new and they are good. If that's you, I'm going to ask, if you want to come down for prayer, we're going to pray and we're going to take captive. We're going to demolish those thoughts that don't come from him. And we're going to speak truth. So if that's you, if you want to come on, and we will pray for you, and we will demolish. Everyone just stand as the band plays. I love this song. Brittany sings. I especially love it when it says, fix our eyes on you. Fix our eyes on you. Devastate us with your presence falling down. Fix our eyes on you, Lord. It's so good to be able to fix our eyes on the one and allow him to captivate us and to see him in a sanctuary and gaze upon his glory and power and to know that his unfailing love is better than life itself. His unfailing love is better than life itself. Thank you, Jesus.
Your face is beautiful, and your eyes are like the stars. Your gentle hands have healing there inside the scars. Your loving arms, they draw me near, and your smile, it brings me.
This series is will help to launch us into next year. I've really prayed a lot and meditated a lot about 2015 and what's in store for Eagles Way Church, and there's several words that come to my mind, and here's a few of them. One, I believe that next year is a year of launching, and I don't really know what all that means, but I really feel that that is a year of launching in our lives and in this church. I believe it's a year of reinventing who we are, and there's a strong emphasis that we'll be sharing toward the end of this month about reinventing who we are. I know that the Lord's really dealing in my own heart and own life about some things, and I really believe that over the next several weeks, God's going to speak specifically to you, to us, about what we need to reinvent, what needs to happen within us. And so I just really encourage you to be here every Sunday to just open your hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit of the Lord's going to say, because He's going to say some really neat stuff, I assure you. And David, I forgot your dad passed away, and just want to, you know, I was thinking yesterday, it was funny, and I just have a word for you, that when Barbara was leaving to go to the memorial service, I forgot he was a coach, and it just hit me that because of that coaching atmosphere that you grew up in, you are who you are today because of that, and he really coached you, and we need to be coached, you know. And I'm not saying this because of Ralph Martin here and his ministry of coaching. I just want to tell you, we all need to be encouraged. You know, there are people sometimes need counseling, but man, there are so many people just need somebody to tell them you can do it. You can do it. And I just want to encourage every single one of you here today to know that you can do it. God, I just want you to be so inspired to know that what's in you is in you, and God, you can do it. Whatever needs to happen in your life, whatever you need to go through, you know, you can go through. Amen? There's some stuff that just don't mean anything. I'm telling you, don't mean nothing. And the stuff that really means everything. I was coming home the other week, a couple of weeks ago, and my Lexus we've had all these years died on me. Transmission just went kaplunk. And I came in. Barbara's all devastated by transmission. I looked at her and I said, girl, that's a thing. That's a thing. That don't mean, if it was me broke down in the road, that's something to worry about and fret about. This is a car. It don't mean nothing. We fret about stuff we ought not to fret about. Amen? Man, there's a lot more important things in life. And what's more important is you. Amen? Amen?